Hey everybody, this is Ruthie Wren, and welcome back to one of the very last episodes of my podcast, Defining Kinks, where this season we hope that we have either explored kinks you didn't know, or we have discussed and talked about kinks that you feel define you. We have talked about so much this season, and on ending note, because kinks are super important and sexy and fun, something that I wanted to talk about when you consider the kinks you may want to explore or look into or have us talk about next season. So I wanted to explore kink and the five senses, because if you can learn the senses that appeal to you most when it comes to your sexual experience, you may just figure out what kind of kinks you want to look into first. So today I have invited the very lovely Moon Dance With Me from Reddit. Thank you for coming on to the pod today.
I'm delighted to be here, Ruthie. Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. And so we're just going to dive right into it, because that's what we've done every episode so far, and nobody's complained. we're doing it safely, practicing safe kink. Mm-hmm. So in general, I always start by asking my guests questions first, because I like to hear them talk. Yes. So in general, to you, how important are the five senses when it comes to sex?
I think it's absolutely important. If you go back to try and define what sex is, to me, it is the highest form of communication that you can have between two or more individuals. It is intimate. It is up close and personal, as they say. Once you are within someone else's space, then you take on that characteristic of a physical being. You know, all other things aside, what a human being is, we are still sensory animals. We see the world through our five senses. It shapes our perception. And in terms of playing, there is an old saying that you don't stop playing when you grow old. You grow old because you stop playing. So sensory play stimulates us. It keeps us young. It keeps us interested in the world. It keeps that communication going between two people or more, if you're that way inclined.
These days it is a valid assumption.
Various permutations of relationships that we could go through. So in terms of how important sensory play is, yeah, I would assume that a lot of people don't actually realize that some of their senses are being stimulated when they're involved in the act of sex. You know, you're sometimes so involved in what's going on, so thinking of, yes, I must do this, I must press button A, B, C, or whatever you've read in the manuals that you've studied up on, that you don't abandon yourself a little bit, relax. Just enjoy the moment and just feel someone else's heat, smell their scent, hear those delicious little moans and whimpers that they make. All those little subtle signals that allow us to make a stronger, more intimate connection with someone else.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's so true. It's kind of when I asked this question, I presented this question. To listeners and peers in the community. And it was kind of one of those questions that you get asked where you're just like, well, duh, senses are important. But at the same time, people like, then you really start thinking about like, well, do I really appreciate or pay attention to all the senses I'm using? And when you were talking, I was very, I'm a theater girl, and I know that you have a love for theater as well. But when you watch a grand production in a theater house, you see, you know, we're all there for the big show. But just like with sex, people don't realize that there are people throwing the spotlights, people on a soundboard sometimes. You have scenery and, you know, things that are changing that are happening behind the curtains and just waiting in the wings. And all those things, when you add together, they made the show. But really, usually all you see is the leading lady or the leading male, you know, or the cast that's right there in front of you.
That's a wonderful analogy. You know, you see sex as being not so much a performance, because you don't want to put too much pressure on yourself, but it's the way that all these individual elements come into play to give you that experience. And as you say, quite often you're not aware of the part that your individual senses play. We are very much visual beings, and most of the world is seen through our eyes. Certainly there's this argument that men are more visual beings than women are. We could discuss that in detail. But I would certainly say that predominantly, if I'm going to be turned on, I believe in the French saying, which is, if I can use the cooking analogy, the first bite of any meal is with the eyes. So what you find attractive, first of all, if a partner is trying to seduce me, all she needs to do is put on a little bit of makeup, red lips in particular. Red lipstick. I don't know what your favorite color is, but there's something about a woman who wears red lipstick that screams, come and seduce me.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, yeah, I mean, it is the color, it seems to be, lipstick that either it just has that promiscuity to it, either way. Either she definitely knows what she wants, or she's definitely open to what may present itself. So I could see that for sure. It is definitely a visual. All of those things, that is a great segue into, we've talked about them as a whole experience and stuff. So for a second, let's just isolate them a little bit here and kind of really, really divulge to our listeners, like, you know, maybe the, you know, if they were to pick apart the sensory experience during sex, what they might be not realizing that they could be feeling all along, and how important it is. So we've kind of already talked about a little bit, but visually, sight, it's obviously that's a big one. So,
you know, one question that people often ask me when you're talking to somebody, you know, what is it that attracts you about a member of the opposite sex, about a potential partner? You look in someone's eyes. It's that look in their eyes. If you want to seduce someone, if you want to get those fires burning inside someone else, all you need to do is have that look in your eye. You know the one I'm talking about. It's it doesn't need any words to follow it. You just look someone up and down, and immediately they know, well, straight away, that person is interested in me. So I know that some people find communication with their partner, looking at them, quite difficult. They might be nervous. They might be very shy. But the very first thing that I would do is I would look at my partner's eyes, make sure they see that statement of intent in mine, make sure they can see that they are interested, that little dilation, that little sparkle that they have. That's all you need sometimes to know, yep, this one is definitely interested. I'm on the right track. I'm doing the right kind of thing.
There you go.
A smile. And, you know, sometimes people want to jump straight in and go for the, well, I've got to make some big kind of approach. But often one of the sexiest things that you can do to let someone know that you're interested in them is to smile at them. Never underestimate a smile.
Something, the eyes definitely communicate a lot. And you've said we're visual creatures. Personally, me, being a bisexual, something else, because I guess because you kind of focused on like the eyes and the smile. I definitely love in my partner, I love to see the flush of skin.
Oh, yes.
Especially blushing, especially women. I am totally smitten with a breathless, flushed face of a woman. So it definitely like is a visual. And I've divulged this before. I'm not hugely into pornography, visual, you know, or like a film. But I love for small teases. I love how there are like scene cuts or like GIFs a lot of people do. Oh my goodness, there's going to be a debate because I just said GIFs. please don't focus on that, listeners. Please do not focus on the grammatical stuff of the episodes. A lot of them, I just love those small teases, the scenes, just in those small little snips where it's focused on something. So I love that, but usually the ones I watch, because they're just, they have no sound. So I like just seeing visually what's communicated. This is one that's super strong for me, but smell, the scent. For me, I guess it's no mystery. I am very much more into the primal kinks, natural kinks. And so to me, scent is hugely strong. I've talked about it in past episodes, but the smell of arousal, the natural smell of your partner, both for men and women, there are colognes and perfumes, and there's even ones that have pheromones.
I listened to your podcast on oral sex with you and Zinli, and I agree with you. You know, scent is, I think it's a sense that's quite often overlooked. You know, we might be a little self-conscious to make sure that we've showered before we go out on a date. Oh, we might have sprayed a little bit of perfume on or cologne in the hope that, yes, our pretend and intended partner will like that. But quite often we miss out, as you say, on those natural scents. And when you are making love, when you are having sex with a partner, you're heated. Your body is producing those pheromones. And we quite often forget that pheromones are designed for one purpose. They're designed to make someone attracted to you. They are nature's aphrodisiac. I mean, for you, in terms of colognes, there must be certain colognes that you like.
Yeah, for me, it just depends. But yeah, I definitely have noticed, you know, when you walk by somebody in public and you'll get like the waft of a perfume or cologne, and you're like, oh. And I'm the worst. Like, I will just vocally say, you smell good. Because in my head, I don't realize that I've said it out loud.
There are certain other smells. Some people like certain foods, for example. You know, there are smell chocolate. Chocolate can elicit a response in a lot of people.
It does in me. I don't know if it's a sexual one, because I don't need a partner, but... I think when it comes to the senses, when I'm trying to think of things to equate it so listeners can, you know, kind of get a better picture, you know, of the subliminal nature of our senses, is I will probably, during the whole episode, I will probably come back to either the theater, because I feel like that was a good analogy that people could understand, or even movies, same thing, all the, you know, the editing, the behind the scenes. The other thing I would come back to is probably food, because I feel, and I've said in previous episodes, I know that me and Jay Wild are both foodies. And so we kind of got on this little food tangent, but food itself is such a sensual experience. And I was just reminded when you talked about chocolate that recently, for those that follow me, you know that I moved to a new city. And so I've been exploring that, and I found a very elevated, I say elevated, but it was very cleaned up. But it was just a simple chocolatier's shop, which I can never walk by a sweet shop and not go in. It's just the kind of girl that I am. I go in, and there was men working there, which was just a double indemnity for me. But they're dressed like old, you know, like candy stripers. They've got the straw hats, and they've got the pinstripes, and of course there was little signs that said free samples, and you know, and I was just like, oh, this is, you know, and you walk in and you smell the chocolate and you can smell the sweets, and if you walk into certain areas, you smell like the fruitier sugar candies, and then I walked by like the macarons and the truffles, and you know, the chocolates here behind the counter is, he looked rough around the edges, but he was cleaned up. And I swear in my brain, I had this whole fantasy novel about things we would do in the chocolate room in the back. You know, when he was asking me if I would like another sample, and, you know, and, you know, and I was just like, you dirty, dirty chocolatier. Of course I would. you know, it wasn't sex, but it was pretty damn close in you know, and the thing that all these responses it was eliciting, you know, it was just, you know, maybe I like chocolate too much now that I think about it.
No, if it works, it works.
It works. It works. You know, I mean, food plays a thing. So,
and I had a girlfriend who knew that I had this thing about Murray mints. They're a kind of sweet that you have. I don't know if you have them in the States, but sort of hardcore sweet.
Okay.
And one night she got the Murray mints out. We were sat down watching television and she offered me a Murray mint and I said, thank you. And, you know, about 10 minutes later, I say, have you got another one? And she looks at me, you know, we're talking about that look in the eye with that sparkle, and she smiles a broad smile, lifts her skirt up, and I find a Murray mint waiting for me.
Oh, goodness.
And that is mixing the senses, you know, it's an open invitation, but it's using fun, using...
Yeah.
Sight, using smell, using taste, in order to elicit a response. Both had a very good night.
It definitely sounds like it is, you know, and we've talked and it just seems that the senses just, it's so funny because we're trying to like kind of isolate them, but they all work so in tandem.
Absolutely.
It's so hard. So something I want to discuss because they work so in tandem. So what do you think about the myth that losing or limiting, you know, like getting rid of one sense would heighten others?
Oh, that's absolutely not a myth. That's true. in my experience, everyone, as part of their play kit, should have a blindfold.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there requires an awful lot of trust between yourself and your partner because
absolutely.
You are moving their primary sense and they are completely... I have not been blindfolded myself. I tend to use this on partners because I like playing the more dominant role and then the submissive role.
Well, we know what Mr. Moondance needs to put on his list of exploring kinks, ladies and gentlemen. So
who knows? I might see an entirely different view of the world then.
Or not.
It does. What you then have is you have a scene where there is a little bit of wariness. You can see partners cocking their head a little bit more to hear. Mm-hmm. The sounds become sharper. The smells become sharper. The taste becomes sharper, particularly the sense of touch, which we haven't really talked about yet in detail, not to be isolated. But if you combine a blindfold with restraint of some kind and you are free then to explore a partner's body, one thing that works really well in sensation play is hot and cold, fire and ice.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're using, different sensations that apply heat and cold. For example, I will quite often use spoons. I was playing around one day in the kitchen and trying to find different implements to use. A spatula makes a great little paddle. Did you know that? And the things you can do with a whisk, you would be surprised. but a metal spoon in a glass of ice cubes or in a glass of hot water. And then you just alternate. You apply a cold spoon to parts of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And delicious little feeling that you get rippling through your body to be replaced by warm following that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people enjoy fur, and that's quite a common fetish as well. There's something about the feel of fur. So a fur glove stroking down somebody's arm or thigh, that feel of heat, another body next to you when you're cuddling, something as simple as that, if you're big and little spoon. All of these sensations bring you closer, you know, they give you that sense of actually being intimate with someone else. And they're essential as well for after sex. You know, there is something, you don't just go wham bam thank you ma'am. Well, you hope you don't.
We hope not.
We hope none of our listeners out there just think it's over and done with when you come. because it's not. Mm-hmm. It's part four. It's time for the epilogue, as it were, which is the most important part of any play. You know, where have we gone from? Where we go next? That intimate communication. And quite often, when you have experienced intimacy, bliss with someone, you can often communicate in words. And the most important sense then, what really heightens your communication intimacy, is the sense of touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that the sense of touch is more important than a visual sense in terms of sex and intimacy.
I love that you brought up the aftercare and the cuddling. Because I know that we've talked about a lot of kinks as far as like sensory and especially touch involving clothing or leather or, you know, blindfolds and things like that. But I think sometimes anybody that knows me, and I know it's got its own little following out there, but very big fan of the cuddle fucking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason that I enjoyed so much is pre and post of the session is very, very simple.
Yes.
It is very, it's not like limited. I don't want to say limited because it sounds like you did it on purpose, but it's just very minimalistic. Most of the time, you know, a lot of people, it's in the morning or it's pre-nap or post-nap, you know, and all you are is maybe you haven't opened your eyes yet. So you've actually limited one sense there. So because you've done such and you're so content, you hear your partner breathe and maybe you're lightly tracing your fingers on their skin or they're doing so to you and you feel their closeness. And, you know, depending, sometimes for some people, you can, even if they're close enough, you can feel their heartbeat through their skin, you know, or maybe if you've placed your hand there, you can do that and you can smell. You know, just the air and its lightness, and maybe you feel the warmth of the sun, all these things that you can experience. And it leads to a very intimate moment of, you know, being so bare in a lot of ways. And it leads to wanting to be more intimate. And it just kind of opens this gate. And then afterwards, it's the same thing. So I love that because a lot of times, you know, some people, you know, it's called a fetish or a kink, the cuddle fucking thing, and everything, which is great because it definitely, I think, has its own subclass, but it's something that I think becomes about by being so minimalistic. You don't have to, if you want to practice kink, you do not have to go out and buy all the toys and the gadgets and things like that. Like, I mean, obviously Moondance just said he went to his kitchen and found spoons. So, I mean, you have it all in your own home. You know, so, but definitely it's one of those things. So I just wanted to implore listeners that, you know, if you're trying to figure out maybe what senses, maybe are more important or which ones definitely elicit bigger responses from you, then maybe when you're alone, you know, close your eyes or, put on some noise canceling headphones or something and start playing by limiting your senses and seeing which ones spark bigger responses from you. Definitely, or with a partner, you know, start out light and easy. And, you know, and I think I love also, I'll hit on the restraining of the hands thing because it limits what you're able to do with your hands. And I've actually heard, I don't know if this is a myth or not. I kind of was joking. I know that the sense thing wasn't a myth, but I've actually heard that when you are unable to touch somebody with your fingers and your hands, that actually the nerve endings on your skin like become more sensitive because you're not able to fill out things. So your body kind of like puts you in a hyper awareness of what may be touching you then because you aren't able to touch, if that makes sense.
I've never heard that one, but I've observed that kind of response, certainly in partners that I have restrained. You notice that suddenly something as simple as dusting their body with with a makeup brush or a paintbrush can elicit the kind of response you wouldn't necessarily expect. Like you say, it seems mm-hmm. to be the sense of touch is heightened. I was interested, you said, about placing a hand on his chest. It may seem very simple, but I love it when a woman will cuddle with me, place a hand on my chest, my heart, because at that moment, the communication, she knows that my heart is beating for her. She mm-hmm. had elicited that response in my body, and her reward is my body has responded to what she has done. My heart beats for her. And that is a very special, very intimate moment to share with somebody.
Oh, definitely. I actually have a good friend, and I can't think of the word for it, and he's probably going to kick me for it, but he has, it is a fetish or kink for heartbeat. And almost basically exactly what you said, except his can also be pre, like the buildup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people use actual stethoscopes, or they just use their hand, or they'll use a... I've even heard some join the digital age and use their little smartwatches to track how fast the heartbeat's going. But they do that, and they're listening to their partner's heart or their own heart, you know, to hear what their partner is doing and causing their heart to race or, you know, speed up by light touches and everything. And, you know, it wasn't anything that I'd ever heard of before, but it's definitely very interesting. And I can see that appeal, because in my brain it's very similar to the blush and the when the small hitches in breath begin to start. And you know, it's maybe not a visual thing, it's something that you would feel with your hands, or you would hear in your, you know, or feel kind of the pulse in your ears.
And you were saying before about primal signals, nails, the sensation of nails.
Yes, good one.
There is something about nails being dug into my back.
I love the nails thing. I'm a fool for the soft nail raking on any part of any body. I especially love it along thighs, biceps, and on hands. I'm very much a hand player. I know earlier in the episode you were like, some people are into seeing hands. And I'm like,
yes,
present. I think it's because I like touch so much. So I think I visualize hands doing things and those light, that when you see the size of the fingers or if they have nails, different things, I imagine.
That's something else which is underrated, isn't it? You know, the simple act of holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy dancing, as you know, and some of my most intimate moments have been on the dance floor. You know, when you are, we're not talking about jogging around your handbag here. actual proper dancing. A waltz or something like that. When you have a partner in hold, when you have control over their body, when are able to look in their eyes, when you have that sensory overload of able to speak alone, see their look in their eyes, watch their chest rise and fall as their breath gasps a little, lips, the mouth drops open a little bit more. You can feel the heat from their body. You can feel the subtle movements underneath the clothing that they're wearing. You know, all of that. You talked about a theatrical form. To me, dancing is like sex standing up. It really is.
No, I definitely agree. And I knew you had a passion for it. So that's definitely why I picked you to play my opposite in the ballroom scene, which, you know, definitely your character was reading all of these signals, as you just put it, from the blushing heiress from America.
Yeah.
The senses intermingle so much.
They
like
do.
You said, if you want to explore them more and stuff like that, make it fun. I think I've said that maybe...
Yeah.
8 million times for the whole season is, let's make sex fun. You know, it's not dirty. I mean, we've talked about, yeah, we've talked about dirty talk and different things. And yes, sex can be messy, definitely, whether you're talking food, fluid, sweat, whatever, outdoors. I mean, on the beach, sand, dirt, you know, it's all going to happen. It can get very messy, but it's not a dirty thing. It's a fun, natural thing. And, you know, there's nothing wrong at all with wanting to enhance the experience, because especially when you are in a relationship, and this is not a hookup, not that I'm downplaying those, but when you are in a relationship, enhancing your sexual experience to me means that you want to enhance your relationship. Yes, you know, you want to be, you want to be more open. You want to be able to let go more with sex, or you want that growth with this person. And a lot of the times we're afraid that when somebody says they want to explore something sexually with us, we almost for a second think, oh, are you not satisfied? You know, and it's not that. And I know women tend to do it more than men, you know, because we often are very hard on ourselves. The world is very demanding on women, I feel personally.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you.
So, you know, when somebody asks more of us, or we feel that they're asking more of us, we feel that it's because they think we have not measured up to what they're looking for. And that is not the case, ladies. It means that this partner, whether it's a she, he, they, them, you know, whatever, it is not that. It is they want to enhance what you already have. Or they're wanting to grow themselves as an individual sexually, and they're trusting you to be that bridge for them. So just be open. And like I said, sensing, you know, figuring out the senses and where they play in and where they don't play in for you as a sexual experience is a good way to maybe figure out what kinks you might like more than others to try out first, you know?
I thoroughly agree with you. I mean, it comes back to, to me, sex is basically adult playtime. And the idea that you don't stop playing as you grow older. You grow older because you stop playing. And we are kind of hardwired as a species, human beings, to learn about the world, to learn about ourselves, to learn about our friends, our relatives, people that matter to us through play. What is it they say? The family that plays together stays together. You know, it's the idea that you and your partner are discovering things that make you happy.
Yes,
and absolutely. If what makes you happy is rummaging through the kitchen and thinking, what can I do with this egg whisk? Well, that's what makes you happy.
Yeah.
If snuggling under a blanket with the man or woman or partner of your choice, curled up in front of a fire and just feeling their warmth, knowing that that person with their hand on your chest is that closer to understanding what makes you think they're special, then those kind of intimate moments, they don't, if we talk about sex, we tend to think about penetration. No, and as you've discussed in your podcast, sex can be a whole range of experiences of sensory.
Oh yeah. Okay, Moon. So or Moony, the dear moon dance across the pond.
Oh, that was so very English.
I know, you know, I try to be. No, I'm just kidding. I don't try to be horrible. We have some, it's sharing time here on the episode. So I have some questions. I did post some of these questions to my followers and listeners and peers, and they kind of had their own answers. I asked the question, out of all the senses, what did they feel was the most important? And after I hear your answer, then I am going to I'm going to reveal what their answer was. So to you, hands down, what is the most important of the five senses when it comes to the sexual experience?
Okay, in terms of the most important, I would go for what you said, I think, touch.
Touch, okay.
Touch connects us to someone in a way nothing else can. You don't have to speak a language. You don't have to know the words. you just know what it's like to feel someone else.
Exactly. Well, our collective would agree with you. Out of so many votes, I think it was 82% of the votes that came in. They said the touch was the most important. And that on the other side of the coin, I also asked them, what is the least important, or what sense did they feel could be left out? You know, not missed, not to heighten anything, but what sense is the least important that probably they wouldn't miss if it wasn't present in the sexual experience?
Oh, that's a really, really tricky.
Because as a theater person, you're like, well, you can't just kick, you can't just remove something.
It's like taking lighting out or having any stage direction. You know, it just doesn't work. If you're talking about one which is the most minimal, I wouldn't say completely take one out of it unless it, well, no, let's go for a bit of provocation here then, and we'll say sight, because I know from experience, if I'm talking about, if you blindfold someone and remove that scent, the effect is to simply heighten others.
That's fair. Yeah. That, I mean, and you know, as a, you know, just in your experiences, that does do that.
Yeah.
Actually, the people that I asked, the collective that I asked, they said that smell. So I think they might have underestimated smell. Well, I think in general, I think most listeners and people that I talk to on this, on the podcast about the subject of the five senses, I think we all realize we all kind of underestimate the senses, their role, and then also how they work in tandem together. But yeah, they said smell. So there you
go. Because smell is one of those, it's very subtle, isn't it?
It quite is. Often you don't realize.
We feel the effect without actually knowing it's there. So
exactly. Yeah, it's one of those ones that just kind of, you know. Another thing we're going to share, I know I kind of joked about it earlier, but based on this discussion and this podcast between the two of us and with our lovely listeners, which sense do you think you have neglected the most? And second question, out of all of our discussion, which kink or fetish do you think you should possibly give a try in order to be a little more proactive and learn along with our on exploring more kinks?
Okay. Yeah. which have I neglected the most?
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's a difficult one, because I'm not trying to sound big-headed here, but I'm very aware of the role that the senses play in any kind of sexual encounter that I have. So I'm always thinking of ways to heighten that. If I can say from my point, you touched on it earlier on, I have never been blindfolded myself. And I have only ever been restrained once, but that didn't end well for all concerned. Broke through.
Oh,
my
goodness.
She didn't tie very well, put it that way. And I realized I didn't like being tied because it just made me anxious to get out. So from the point of view of experiencing what it may be like, if any of our listeners out there would like to tie me to a bedpost and blindfold me, they are.
Well, I mean, you did have the trip in the States. So, I mean, if you ever come back, I'm sure there are some Americans that will line up.
Oh, I didn't get anybody willing to tie me to a bedpost. But, maybe I didn't ask the right question.
Yeah, maybe you just didn't. Maybe you did not just open your mouth and talk about the kink.
That's true. I missed an opportunity there, didn't I?
Goodness. And I mean, and I'd have to call you out on it, because being a man who is very tying and shibari and kimbaku enthusiast as a rigger, I feel that one must experience the other side of it more.
No, that's very true, actually. I have neglected that. And I do self-ties, but I've never actually had anyone
give up that control.
Yes, that would be a very interesting experience, perhaps. Something I should definitely consider.
Definitely. Definitely you should. So, I mean, as a switch, I know both sides of the card. So I would say there's definitely something to it. Awesome. Thank you for sharing and reveling and then letting us call you out and beat you to death about what you do not know.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think it's safe to say that from this whole episode and our discussion and talk and everything, that we can agree that sex is a very sensual experience.
Absolutely.
We use all five of our senses, whether we realize it or not. So it really begs the question, now that we know this, where can we really go from here?
Mm-hmm.
My personal suggestion, next time you have sex, pay attention. I know that sounds, we kind of talked about, we get so into the big show that we forget to appreciate the little touches here and there. I know that perhaps my theater background, you know, I notice things like what they might have used to make that backdrop or this prop, or I notice the man operating the spotlight, or, you know, the sound effects that they've chosen. I know for us audio hounds, I know for me personally, I will spend an hour trying to find that perfect, perfect sound effect.
Yes.
And even if it's like a 2-second sound effect, I will be like, nope, not that one. Nope, not that. Like, and I will play it over and I'm like, oh. You know, it's so important. It's such a little thing, it feels like, but it's a perfect thing. And it ties it all together and it really can change the experience. So, do that. Pay attention. Which sense do you use the most? You know, or which one do you rely on the most? Which one do you rely on the least? And next time when you have sex with your partner, think about maybe which sense you might, you know, just for fun. We've talked about make it fun. Think about which sense you might be like, hey, this time, why don't you blindfold me? Because I want to see what it's like if, you know, I don't have that sense to rely on anymore. You know, what experience it might be for me. So what are your suggestions when it comes to incorporating the senses more in sexual sections or kink exploration?
Well, I think you've already talked about one. I think everybody should have access to a blindfold scan.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can remove sight and then you're much more. I think experiment with different sounds, you know, think about a soundtrack, music.
Yes, music.
That's it was a standing joke when I was at university. I used to have what called our seduction tapes. God, I'm showing how old I am now. And you'd put a playlist on there. You different types of songs that would affect the mood before you even get to the nitty gritty. You know, you can use sound to evoke a mood in your.
Mm-hmm.
Lighting as well. Think about candles or lowering the light or maybe dipping a scarf so that you get the bathely pink blossom.
Yeah.
Or a cooler, maybe blue if you wanted to set a scene to it. Think about food tasting. You know, I've already talked about using different fruits, but you can use sweets as well. Try different tastes on the tongue. Maybe different drinks. A fun evening I once had was mixing cocktails with a friend and trying the different tastes that we had on the that I think the alcohol probably helped, but certainly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thinking about different ways to use your imagination and different materials you use. You know,
definitely.
One thing that I really enjoy is drawing on a partner.
Mm-hmm.
A specific kink. You can use a mascara or to poem on a partner's back. But she said, but apart from the way it was bad poetry, apart from the writing, the idea itself, what she enjoyed was feeling that movement, I've used paintbrushes that elicit a response. So you can just paint on a... And what's even better is if you lean closely in her ear and whisper the word that you just drawn a paintbrush on.
Exactly.
Mine. Yes.
I had a partner for fun, and I've played this game just for fun with previous partners, yeah. But I did have a partner. She was very into the words, the writing. Mm-hmm. Whether we did it with actual body paint. She was an artist. I always joked that was her thing. She one of the things she loved most was to be laying on her stomach, and on her back I was to draw things, which I'm not an artist at all. But the game was for her to guess what I was either spelling or what I was drawing on her back. Yeah. Which was really fun game. You know, again, we just made it fun. It was play. Yeah. But it was very sensual, you know, just a whole thing. And visually for me, I know that I'm playing off of her senses, you know, feeling the paintbrush or feeling the pen, you know, or sometimes I would just use something that was different was one time I used a pencil, but the eraser end, just that different texture of an eraser, you know, that rubber kind of gummy feeling, you know. Mm. So I use that to just kind of, you know, play around. But visually for me, it definitely elicited, you know, watching me very delicately, you know, trace the edge over the curves of her, you know, visually elicited a response in me as well. And, you know, when I got slower, seeing her, you know, lift her back more as she's taking a deeper breath and things like that.
And you become more aware of your partner's body.
Yes.
You can touch them in order.
Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely, I know we might have hit on it earlier. You know, our senses, definitely, we use them, you know, to be aware of ourselves, but, you know, our senses also help us be aware of the body languages and the signals that our partners are giving us in, do they like it? You know, if a partner, I know for me, if I'm not feeling something, sometimes I forget. I know this is going to sound horrible because I had a whole episode on practicing safe kink, but I forget about safe words sometimes. And it not in a bad way. Like I don't ever let it go to extreme, but I initially forget about, you know, just the caution word, the slowdown signal. But I usually tense. And it's usually pretty visual. You know, I don't like C's, but I mean, like, definitely my body language changes for a moment. Before in my head, I say, relax, you're going to, you know, offend them or something, you know, but it doesn't have to be like that. But, but you know, you can notice these changes and you can notice, you know, different things. And so definitely two things came to mind. If you want to, I know some people are still a little reserved about sexual kinks and stuff, but you can explore your senses. And I think being a more sensual being, as we've discussed, being a more in tuned with your body and the senses and how they work for you and speak to you, can lead into safer exploration of kinks. And so something I would suggest that's on a more suitable for work, or maybe a covert, not suitable for work operation. is I think one of the most intimate and sensual experiences in romance is actually a picnic in the park. Because usually I am a foodie, so there's food prepared, and it's all delicate, and most of it's finger food, or even if it's a little messy, like fruit, you lick the fruit off your finger, the juices, or maybe you feed your partner, or there's a sharing, you know. And then you, I love reading. So being there in shade or in the sunshine and reading and being comfortable and listening to your partner read. And, you know, if you're bold enough and you have a quiet enough space, perhaps read erotic poetry.
Absolutely. I would recommend some erotic poetry.
Exactly. It's definitely lovely. And so I would say that that could be an experience that is not explicitly sexual or, you know, or goes too far in right away, but definitely helps you like open up a little more to your senses and, you know, different things that you're affected by. Another thing that I wanted to realize when you talked about sounds and lighting and different things like that is thunderstorms are a very big thing. They're very big. I can't tell you the number of times in any time a thunderstorm audio comes out or, you know, anything like that, or people, you know, so many times when people go sex in a during a thunderstorm or, you know, those cuddles after, you know, during a thunderstorm.
You,
and
you have hit on a major kink.
I know. Yeah, it's a big one.
A there lot is of, a word for it somewhere.
Yeah, I know, right?
Thunderstorms really, well, you know all about that.
I do. Well, and it's, now that I think about it, it's this whole experience, and I was trying to pinpoint what is it, and it's, I think we've kind of talked on it, it's all in tandem. Like a thunderstorm for me is you've got the unapologetic rumble of thunder and the menace of the storm, and that kind of like quakes you a little bit, you know, internally, and then you've got the rain, and if you have just a little bit of light from, you know, it, or, you know, from outside, from the moon or anything like that, then, you know, the lovely patterns and shadows, light that is cast when rain's running down glass, and, you know, when you see it cast upon your partner, or just the lightning, you know, lighting up a room, the coolness in the air, the electricity in the air. A lot of people don't realize, but there is that little bit of edge of static and crispness.
One of the most intense
smells
in my life, sex during a thunderstorm. And you touched upon it earlier. You said, if you have never seen naked in moonlight, and I don't mean you should go suddenly jaunting off and streaking through the park. But it is a magical experience, you know. They look completely different.
I believe it.
You know, in a way you've never seen them before, and that whole feeling you have. You talked about static electricity. You get charged in such a way that it becomes most primal. You know, you are. And then the scent of the rain, and there is an actual word to describe the smell of the air before and after a storm.
There definitely is. And I know that I know it. Because it is, it's definitely a word. I can't think of it either. I want to say it's something like pluviophile or something, but I'm afraid for people to Google that. Please, nobody Google that. I will feel horrible if you find it
later. Something. I'm sure somebody will.
I will, yeah. It will. It'll be in the comments somewhere. The word is that, or the argument about GIFs. That's going to be what the comments are for this episode. So we kind of wrapped it up. Those are some things that you can do. We've talked about how they're in tandem. What I would also suggest, and maybe you can echo me here, Mooney, is that if you have kinks that let's say you're thinking about bondage or leather play and different things like that, you know, but you're not sure where to start with it, well, then I would start, after you've kind of done some sense exploration with yourself, if sight is something that you find arouses you more than anything, then I would definitely say that if you like bondage, you know, if you're wanting to explore it, then maybe look up if there's a local kink community where they put on shows that you can observe. Or maybe it's enough for you to not so much be artistically or even soundly tied, but to witness your partner tying you know, them at your feet, tying them to a bedpost, or, you know, something like that, the very slow action of maybe them tying your wrists in front of you. You know, something like that. Or maybe it's the whole process of them pulling out the tying, you know, things. Or if sound is more your thing, you've realized. I know we have a lot of sound enthusiasts listening. You know, so what if sound is, then maybe the sound of rope being knotted, or sliding out from a knot. If it's the feeling, the touch, then definitely sensory play of running a string of rope around your body, just sensory with the end of a rope. Could be a number of things, really, you know, if it's leather, then, you know, and you like the appeal to it, then you might just like seeing a leather crop slowly, you know, slid across your thighs. If touch is your thing, maybe you're wanting that extra bit of impact play with that crop, you know. It's just find your degrees. It's all exploration. It's all fun.
Build up and, like you said, use your imagination that you could do.
Yeah.
There are places that you can go, and most places, I'm sure, would love to take a newbie through the books. You're not going to be thrown at the deep end.
No.
Learn what's going on. Talk to other people. Get some ideas. There's a lot you can read up on sensory play. One of the most interesting, but one of the first erotic read was Venus in Furs, which is all about BDSM. No, it isn't actually, but this idea of the sensual touch of fur on a woman's body, and it has one of the strongest images of us, where you have this beautiful aristocratic woman dressed in this fur coat. She takes it off, reveals she's wearing stockings, suspenders.
Which we know your thing for stockings. So.
Oh, yeah, don't go there.
Oh, goodness.
But, you know, I would agree with you. Start slow. Build up.
Start
that
will
work for you and your partner.
Yeah, and, you know, I haven't really hit on this too much because I try to be very kink positive, and I am. And I'm always open to hearing and exploring kinks because I'd like to know the appeal of them. And because maybe, you know, maybe there is something that I'm missing out on. And I'm totally, I miss things all the time. I'm quite a clueless redhead for, you know, subliminally. People just don't realize I just sound very smart and in tuned. You know, I don't mean this in a negative light, but if there are senses that you don't use or that just don't do it for you, like I know we've kind of talked about a neglect sense is smell, you know, if you're not into, even on a normal day, if you're not into the smell of arousal or your partner or, you know, odd smells being present, then perhaps a fetish such as, you know, that has to do with scent. I know one of the first ones that come to mind is panty sniffing, you know, which is a turn on for a lot of people, you know, and I can definitely see it with the pheromones and different things. I find it actually can be very attractive. But if smell is not your thing, then I wouldn't suggest trying that, you know, like, you know, if it's not your thing, don't think. I'm not saying you have to try everything, you know, but I would say focus on what does do it for you, you know, and because I think you can agree that the more positive and eye-opening growth sexual experiences you have, the more you learn about yourself and the more solid you become in what you want sexually and what you,
you become more confident in articulating needs and wants, which is important in any relationship.
I think so.
Important communication is. How do you know that you haven't got this particular kink if you haven't tried it?
Exactly.
Or how do you know that it's not necessarily your thing if you don't consider it? As you said, you don't necessarily have to try everything, but just keep an open mind, I think.
Keep an open mind and start with what appeals most, you know, and like I said, you think about your senses as well, you know, think of how you could use your senses in them and what might lead to a better, more fun experience out the gate. So
absolutely.
Exactly. So kink in the five senses, is it essential? I think we've pretty much delved that it's pretty essential for sex, let alone for kink. So So we hope that you will all consider using all five of your senses. And really, I would love to get feedback on things that you've tried or things that you've had experiences with in doing so. Thank you so very much for being on my podcast episode today, Moon Dance. It was fun.
It has been an absolute pleasure and a delight, as it always talks.
You know, you're going to have a plethora of DMs about, you know, being blindfolded. So I think I can keep you busy for the next season or two. Rolling in, not the offers you thought you'd get. If you haven't seen the past episodes, check them out. This is one of the last of the season. I have some extra stuff coming up, including a very fun, I'm just coining it a mailbag episode right now, where I've taken your questions and your interest and ideas for next season, and I've kind of put them together in a fun little episode with maybe a guest or two. And we're going to have that. So definitely, if you've asked questions or anything like that, or have any, send them my way, and hopefully I can get to address them on that episode. But otherwise, keep kinking on and having fun, and just keep it safe and fun and do your thing.
Couldn't agree more.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you again, everybody, for listening, and I will see you on the next episode. And thank you again, Moon. You can find him on Reddit. It is Moon Dance with Me, and I will link you guys up with him. Check him out. He is a gentleman and a very dirty one sometimes, and he would enjoy you checking him out. I will say, see you next time.
Good night then, Ruth. Take care.